Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome to VFN Radio. Greg, John, and Pat will be back live tomorrow, so stay tuned for more of our timeless treasures.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Well, just recently, Google released what they call a transparency report. And they release these reports twice a year now since 2009. Mm-hmm. But what they're finding is that government surveillance and requests for information has increased dramatically. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now the governments around the world actually have made nearly 21,000 requests, according to the BBC, and basically within the last 6 months of the first year, and Google turns this information over. It says Google's saying that the government surveillance on online lives is rising sharply, and of all the countries, the U.S. government made the most demands. Like, don't we have the Constitution?
What? Serious?
Of all countries, yeah, we make the most demands. In the first six months of 2012, there was something like 7,969 requests. And, you know, countries can also ask Google to remove content as well. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But like I said, this report gets sent out basically twice a year since 2009. Mm-hmm. And it just shares, you know, who's requesting the information and why. And it's good. I mean, if you're a Google client, mm-hmm. Well, many people are. They have a responsibility to let you know, what's happening. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is the sixth time that this has been released. And what they're saying, they have a blog, which basically says that the government surveillance is on a rise. And mm-hmm. what they're also saying is that it reflects the laws in a particular country. Mm-hmm. For instance, in Turkey, there's specific laws about defaming public figures. So anything that defames a public figure, they ask for it to be removed. Germany, the same way, anything that has to do with Nazi, mm-hmm. they ask that to be removed as well.
Right.
But what's happening is that, you know, this content has full access. So the government's requesting information. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Fourth Amendment rights. You know, we have Fourth Amendment, and many are concerned that, listen, this is in violation. I mean, the Fourth Amendment says that the rights of the people, right, It's first of all, it's for search and seizure, right? But the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures mm-hmm. shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So it's they just can't take information. So mm-hmm. many people are asking, well, how is this happening then if we have search and seizure, Fourth Amendment rights? Well, there is an act. It's called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act in 1996. Mm-hmm. And the act is basically outdated. I mean, it's outdated not to deal with what's happening now with online emails. According to Politico, they're saying that the internet service providers and most websites keep complete records of internet protocol addresses mm-hmm. of those who use their service for 18 months. And after that, they tend to blur it a little bit.
Right.
But investigators can obtain that information under this Electronic Communications Privacy Act as long as they have reasonable grounds to believe that it's relevant to ongoing criminal investigation. Reasonable grounds, it's a whole lot less of requirement than probable cause needed for a search and warrant. Okay, so it's really, really important. And it's a big deal. Now, you know, the other thing too is that your emails are good for 180 days. After that, it's continued fair game.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have, your emails are just, you know, as long as once 180 days are passed, it's considered, you know, you don't have a right to privacy. So we're going to play this segment and we're going to want to come back and talk about it. But we talked about the Fourth Amendment rights and unreasonable search and seizures. And we want to listen to it to just get, again, another foundation on what are our rights. And if we don't know about them, we're just going to just lose them.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to talk about original intent for a moment. We always talk about the original intent of America and the original intent of the church. Right now is the original intent of our founding fathers. And I'm looking at the Constitution. You need to get your little pocket version, a handbook version of the Constitution so you can carry it with you. Understanding, you know, as we begin to see, you know, things being challenged and people saying they want to do away with the Constitution, you know, things are, right?
Yeah.
We saw, you know, things that they called it an outdated document in some of the universities. Our judiciary branch, you know, one of our justices are telling Egypt, don't use America's Constitution. It's outdated. You need to go one of the countries in Africa to be able to use theirs. There has more openness in regards to abortion and some other things. You can go ahead and bring that into. They're trying to, you know, all this, like, really? You know, you're sworn to actually defend the Constitution from enemies, you know, foreign and domestic. And so I'm looking at here, and, you know, coming from the experience of, you know, being in law enforcement for about over 9 years, your law enforcement officers live every single day, you know, by the Constitution. I mean, the government used to.
Right.
You know, it used to be, you know, that used to be the thing. For some reason, it's just like they want to change it. But every single day, your lawyers, your judges, and the law enforcement are applying the Constitution to your community every single day. And they know probably better, because everything that they do has to be checked for if it's constitutionally correct. Did you violate somebody's constitutional rights? And so they're thinking more about the Constitution probably than more others who go back and judge them afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier that, you know, you're in a crazy situation and you're about to lose your life or something. You're trying to, you know, make quick decisions. So the officer has to be well-trained and experienced to be able to do that, because they don't want to violate somebody's rights. Because if you do, I'm looking at the Fourth Amendment right here, that if you do, then they actually let the person go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole Constitution is for you, the individual. It is not for the government. It was created to protect you and me, the people. It was not meant to protect the government. The Constitution was meant for you, the people, not for the government.
Right.
You know, it's like it's totally turned around now. It's like they're trying to create a document that empowers them and disempowers people.
Right.
So knowing the Constitution, getting back to the original intent of our founding fathers, we need to do that so we don't lose it. But the Fourth Amendment talks about this. This is the Fourth Amendment. It says the right of the people to be secure. Think about it. You have a right to be secure. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers. That's back when things were done on papers, but it's talking about what's written on the papers. And effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. In other words, don't touch my stuff. Don't read my stuff. Don't look at my stuff. And don't go in my stuff. Right? That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Right? Then it goes on and says, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issued or be issued but upon probable cause. So they can't even just conjure something up and say, hey, you know, give me a warrant, Judge. I want to be able to go and look in Pat's stuff. You know, his papers, his effects, his house, is enough. And he says, but upon probable cause, then it can be issued, supported by an oath of affirmation, which means that person who wants to search your stuff, I don't care if the FBI, the CIA, the local police, or the local sheriff, or the local whoever, they have to raise their hand before God and that judge, and they have to swear, give their word, as if that means something. It does. You know, I'm telling you, if you understood who our law enforcement officers are, you'd have such respect for them, because they are the tools, everyday tools, and the judges of the Constitution. They're making sure that nobody takes advantage of it, and they do. They actually undo it. And they have to swear an oath to it, and particularly describing, they have to actually describe very specifically the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. First of all, what does probable cause actually mean? It's important you got to understand that. Probable cause means this. This particular person who says they want to search your belongings, search your papers, search your houses, search your data. There you go. This is a big thing. Search your data. They have to swear an oath that they have a probable cause to believe. Probable cause. And probable cause is defined as this. They believe a crime has been or is about to be committed. There's evidence proven, not suspended. Like, you know, I just think that person is a bad person. That don't do it.
Right.
And that would be thrown out of court. Mm. That they can't. They have to actually say, well, you know, I saw the drugs in their hands. I saw the money exchange. It's like when somebody's, when police officers happen to break up any kind of prostitution, they sometimes have to get involved in the process so they can see the money exchange hands. If the money doesn't exchange hands, then the services weren't purchased and they get thrown out of court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause that's the, believe it or not, even the prostitute has constitutional rights and they can't be violated, him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who has got caught up in the drug trafficking, you know, they're American citizens and they have constitutional rights. Citizens, your neighbor that lives right next to you has these constitutional rights. Police officers, even though they're enforcing the laws, you can't violate their constitutional rights. You can't search their things or their belongings. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only do you have a probable cause to search, that says, okay, you tell the judge, I believe such and such, this probable cause that a crime is or about to be committed. And then you got to describe, you got to write out in a warrant, affidavit, a warrant, very specifically what you're talking about. You can't say yada, 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 violating them. You can't do that. You got to say, you know, I believe they're trafficking, and say, just say, you know, dealing in elephants is illegal, right?
Right.
And you were just driving by one day, and you saw this man trying to squeeze an elephant into the front door of the house, right? And you weren't even paying attention, but you noticed it because the big butt of the elephant was sticking out the door. Yeah, it was kind of stuck in the door jamb. And so you see it. You go, okay, I see the butt of the elephant trying to get into his house. I see the man with the elephant. I know that the law says it's illegal to traffic in that. So this officer would go to the judge. He would write that out. Saw the butt of an elephant sticking out the door. It's illegal according to this particular statute, you know, federal law or state law. And that he believes is violated. And so the judge would read all that, and then he had to raise his hand up, and he would swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I saw the butt of that elephant sticking out the door. This all to be true. This is the warrant to be true is what he swore.
Right.
And then you go with that warrant, and then you can go to the person's house, and you can search for this elephant. It shouldn't be too hard. He probably still got his butt hanging out the door.
Right.
Depending on your house today. I mean, some big houses. Some big houses in Texas. There's some big houses out there. But know this, that... And so that was, think about all those rights that you had as a person who you know, were being protected at that point. What does that mean? Okay, it means this. Say he got the elephant into the house, and your warrant affidavit, the warrant affidavit is used against you. Now it's a warrant, a search warrant. They can now search. And they go in there, and they start looking for this elephant. Let's just imagine it's a rather large house, and the elephant can move around. But they start looking in your drawers. I'm talking about where you know, down south, that's actually where you store your clothes and
your
stuff.
Your dresser.
Dresser, that's right. Yeah, your dresser. And, or they're looking in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking in the washing machine. Or they're looking in the back of the toilet, where that little water stuff's in the back for those in America. In Europe, they're like in the ceiling. Anyway, and so finally, they look in the jewelry box on your dresser, and they see a big bag of cocaine or crack or heroin, some drug, illegal drug.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrest you for that. And they arrest you for the drug. And it is against the law to have that drug.
Right.
But they were there under this very specific instruction of the Fourth Amendment that they swore that there was an elephant in the house and they were looking for it. And they arrest you, they take you to jail, And they can't find the elephant, you know. But they found the cocaine, which is a more serious charge.
Mm-hmm.
They take it before the judge, and the judge will find out if this is constitutionally right. Did they violate your constitutional rights? According to the Fifth Amendment, America,
right.
Don't give up the Constitution. Listen to this. This is so important. And so the judge would say, well, you know, this is a felony charge. You're going to be, you know, possibly, you know, facing umpteen years in prison. And then your defense attorney, because you have, this is what they read you, is your constitutional rights when you're arrested, you know, a variation of this. They say you have the right to remain silent, which is a pretty smart thing to do, by the way, mm-hmm. to know what's going on. Don't think, well, they're going to think I'm guilty. They're already arresting you, so they probably already think you are. They already believe there's probable cause. So right. Just, you know, you find out what's going on first. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney, which is, represents you. Understand this, that if you're going to build a house, you go hire a carpenter. People go, look at you, you're just guilty. You know, I would have built that house myself. It's like, I don't know how to build a house. I don't know how to hammer nails or cut things or whatever. You know, you hire a carpenter. This is you have a right to an attorney, which knows how the law works. And so you can bring your attorney in. This is a constitutional right. Don't let anybody tell you by getting an attorney, you're admitting to guilt. If you're getting an attorney, you're admitting to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, unless you are one. But it says that a person who represents himself in a court has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, so the Constitution set up where you can have legal representation. Then they say this, that, and if you can't afford an attorney, we'll have one appointed to represent you. So we're telling that American citizen, listen, we want justice for you. We don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. We don't want to do you in. We want to just bring this before the judge. We want to bring the light of the Constitution on the situation. We want to put your hand on a Bible that you swear before God, you know, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to lay out all the evidence. So the officer's not convicting you. The officer's bringing you before the judge, and the judge's responsibility is to evaluate, and a jury's responsibility is to evaluate, jury of your peers, that if your constitutional rights have been violated, and if they haven't, then to proceed on with the process. If they have been violated, then they will have to dismiss the case. And this is what the search warrant said. It said, we're looking for an elephant,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what's going to happen. They're going to throw that charge out. Not because you were right in saying it was illegal for them to have these felony drugs, but it was wrong for the fact you shouldn't have been looking in a jewelry box for an elephant, because elephants don't fit in a jewelry box.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fit in that closet. So if you're looking at places that elephants don't fit, you've moved outside your authority that you were given by the judge that you swore that you were looking for elephants. So this is important. Listen, the reason why our founding fathers wrote this in the Constitution is because the British soldiers were kicking our front doors. They would take our stuff from us. They would search anytime they want to. You'd walk down the street and they would just search you and take your stuff. They'd look through your papers and you'd just be like, these peasants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they treated people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to lose this. We're about to lose this right that we have, the Fourth Amendment right. And we need to wake up. And let me tell you something, church. You got to understand, you know, we're not going to win in this thing, because anything that wants to take control like this is not God.
Right.
You know, it's demonic. It's a tyrannical rule. I mean, it could be God leading us to a place of captivity because we've been in rebellion. But let's just repent before we go there. And let's continue with this great experiment called America, called freedom, you know, where our rights come from God. And that's your Fourth Amendment right. And so as an officer, an experienced officer, mind you,
mm-hmm.
will know that he can't say that and he can't do that. And if he does, he or she's wasting their time, because it's all going to be thrown out in the end. It's going to make them look bad. And so he would have had to say in his search warrant, in his warrant, that I want to search for cocaine. I wanted to search for something that small. And then he could have looked in the jewelry box and it would have stuck, you know? And so, but he has to have probable cause to believe that the person's a drug dealer too.
Right.
Or doing drugs. And if you don't have probable cause, he's just like, you know, I just want to check his house for drugs. Then he does not have probable cause to believe the drugs are in that house, because he has to believe that a crime is being committed or is about to be committed. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not the fact that you got drugs or somebody's got drugs. It's the fact that they believe that that drugs are being illegal drugs are being used, and that or about to be used, and a crime is about to be committed. And so they just can't say, hey, I want to search your house for, you know, whatever. I just use drugs for just whatever reason. And that's a powerful right that we have. It's a huge right that we have. And they're wanting to change the Constitution. If they take away that, then that means they can search your stuff. They can search your things. And the difficult thing that we have going on right now with the Fourth Amendment, you know, our president and his responsibility as a president of the United States is to protect our Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. He's supposed to protect our borders, where people physically and physically cannot come over the borders without us first finding out who they are, that they wouldn't come in and violate the rights of somebody in our country. And going back real quick, like, to that Fourth Amendment, so you go to the court, they present the whole thing, the elephant charges being against you, the cocaine charges being against you. And the judge says this. He goes, since you didn't produce the elephant, there's no. And then, I mean, you could say if it don't fit, it don't. You gotta quit. but the cocaine, the illegal cocaine, they throw it out in America. You see all these newscasters today. They have something that happens in America, and they get on their rant and they talk for like 20 days about something. Mm-hmm. But one thing they're not mentioning, are ignorant of, or just trying to convince people of, is not bringing up the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We have a constitutional right. We're innocent until proven guilty. We're just going to the courts to lay everything out, present all of your evidence that says that I'm guilty, and then you, as a defendant, the one that's being charged, you do not have to say a word. It's their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the state to present evidence that a crime has been committed beyond any shadow of doubt. They have to convince them that this has happened. So you can just sit there and just watch. Somebody says, I can't believe they're not testifying. First of all, you don't have to. And sometimes, why should you have to say anything anyway? You know, if it's a trumped up charge, if it's something that's not right, and if somebody's got some vendetta or something like that, then, you know, let it all just be spelled out in court, and you just sit there and watch it. You know, the jury's instructed, you cannot base your decision based on whether the defendant speaks or not speaks. Mm-hmm. That the burden is on the prosecution. It was on the officer who made the arrest. It was on the warrant, the judge, the was signed in the Fourth Amendment. It was on the search and how they did the search. It was on all these specifics. And some people said it was thrown out for a technicality. No, they're thrown out because they violated someone's constitutional right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the system's based off of this. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail.
Right.
We got to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it worse having two guilty people go free or to sending you, an innocent man, to jail? I think it's worse sending you, an innocent man, to jail.
All right.
You know, life has its way of working things out.
Right.
I mean, think about what happened with O.J. Simpson and all that. It looked like he got free on mm-hmm. the situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's in jail today.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, you know, justice just happens over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so, know this, that our system is based on, you know, it's better to let two guilty people go free than to send you, an innocent person, to jail. So if we demand every person that we think in our own mind and exclude the Constitution, exclude the wisdom of the judges and the attorneys and the wisdom of the officers, and we're just going to throw somebody in jail, guess who's next?
Yeah.
Guess who's next? So I want to encourage you, you know, when somebody talks to you or you hear people talking about, or your legislature talking about, your congressman or your senator saying that the Constitution is outdated and they need to do away with it. When our Supreme Court justice, you know, I believe it was Ginsburg's, telling the Egyptian leaders not to use the Constitution that she swore to be able to defend, you know, and to make sure that our laws are constitutional, she needs to be impeached. She needs to be removed from office yesterday. A president who doesn't defend the Constitution, who doesn't stand up from enemies of it, foreign and domestic, needs to be removed from office. That a congressman or a senator who doesn't defend it needs to be removed from office. A military person who's serving the military, who swore to uphold it and defend it, they need to be removed from the military. Every aspect. And a person it's a citizen of America that it becomes an enemy of the state and an enemy of the Constitution, they need to be removed. That's mm-hmm. just it.
Right.
Because we all pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, for the republic, not democracy, for which it stands. It's a representative government. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, this is so important. It's exactly what we're talking about with the Fourth Amendment. It's exactly what we're talking about with what's happening with Google and their recent request from the government to get information. Right. I mean, think about it. And what's helped to facilitate this and kind of what seems to has allowed the Fourth Amendment to be bypassed is this Electronic Communications Privacy Act. The thing about with your emails is that and according to Wikipedia, we're going to make this available on the Torch. So they say there's that, for instance, your email is stored on a third-party server for more than 180 days. It's considered by law to be abandoned. And all that is required to obtain that the content of the emails for law enforcement agency to basically submit a written statement certifying that that information is relevant to an investigation with absolutely no judicial review required whatsoever.
Wow.
And before, when this was done, you know, emails weren't stored all that much on the server because it'd get to where it needed to go. But now with people using services like Yahoo and Gmail, you know, they're letting all their emails just say stored in Gmail or Yahoo or whatever other, you know, source like that. So think about it. After 180 days, that email, those emails are considered to be abandoned. Just out there. And so delete.
right.
But you want to be wise. I mean, we have to know what our constitutional, you know, amendment rights are. You got to know the Bill of Rights. And most, I mean, listen, this Fourth Amendment, you have a right. And this is the danger, is that if we're not aware and we just go with the flow and think, okay, you know, this is just what's happening in the news. I guess I just have to accept it. You know, that they can get even the CIA's emails. You know, why not? Who am I? No, listen, you have rights. You have rights. Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
You got to look at that calendar, man. You got to look at that calendar. Well, I want to talk today about the original intent for America. And I want to talk about the Constitution. You know, we talk about the Constitution quite a bit, which is so good. It's important. And you know, Pat, I got to get, you know, educated here. I'm trying. Yeah, you know, this is challenging for me.
You finally cracked that book, huh?
Yeah, it's challenging. I got a lot of challenges, you know, And so we want to talk about, as we're learning and growing, I mean, I don't know, Pat, where I was when they were discussing this whole Constitution thing in high school. I mean, can you relate?
I can relate. A lot of things I don't remember from my school.
Okay, we won't go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can relate.
Yeah.
But those who are in high school right now, I will tell you, you need to pay attention. You need
yes.
You need to take good notes. Okay, take good notes. But you know, the Constitution. We talk about the preamble of the Constitution, Pat. I mean, listen to these words: "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union." Mm-hmm. And they were trying this. The founding fathers, the framers, they were trying to get this right. You know, a more perfect union, establish justice, and secure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, you know, we talked about yesterday how you know, we can have transition of power, and how beautiful that is in our country that, you know, we're getting ready to vote for a president in 60 days.
Right.
And whether the, you know, our current president will remain in office or we'll have a new president, you know, nobody knows. But either way, there's going to be a transition, a new government, if you will. Even if the president administration, if he wins, he's going to start, you know, his new term. And yet there's a transition after all that occurs, just if the country just accepts that, you know, then we have a president. Right. And it just keeps going. It's not like this in other nations. And we can get so much tunnel vision when we just live in our country and we just read our news that we don't understand. We don't, you know, understand that other countries don't have it like this. Mm-hmm. And that provision, especially the presidency, it's all in our Constitution. It's all there. And the Constitution is the highest law in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's like the motherlode, right?
Right.
And all other laws come from the Constitution. It's basically how the government works. And the thing about the Constitution is that it can be changed. And you do that with an amendment.
Right.
And among the amendments is a list of the rights of the people. Mm-hmm. And when they were first, you know, putting together the Constitution, some of the guys didn't want to sign it. Some of the founding fathers didn't want to sign it because they didn't have a Bill of Rights. They didn't have a rights that protected the people at first. But, you know, eventually we were able to get the first 10 amendments put in. And now there's a total of 27. But 10 amendments, and the first 10 amendments are the Bill of Rights.
Right.
And these are the rights for the people. But basically, you know, you're looking at 1787. This document's a couple hundred years old. It's amazing how it has been preserved. The fact that, I believe it's in National Archives, or copies of it, at least in Washington, D.C. I saw a little program once where you should see that I don't know if it's the original. It can't be the original, but probably. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, maybe it's them now.
Is that them?
They put it in this, I don't know, man, it's like this glass frame
yeah.
that had like these gases. I mean, they were working on it with surgical masks, like they were in the operating
room. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's supposed to preserve the document from getting, you know, damaged or ruined. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to listen, and this is some time ago, but I wonder what how much the cost that that entailed to do that. I mean, look how much money was being spent, mm-hmm. which is great. I mean, we're wanting to do all of this to preserve and for everyone to remember. And it's on display. I mean, if you don't have a personal copy, I encourage you, get your personal copy, download it, buy it, you know, but get find your copy of the Constitution and just read it, mm-hmm. because it's going to encourage you. But the group of men came together, and they were called the Framers. They were known as the Framers. I don't say they called the Framers. They were known as the Framers, and they were basically trying to come together to put a Constitution together. They mm-hmm. it said that they worked about 4 months, I believe, in Philadelphia to craft it out, and they met in a convention, it's like a series of meetings to basically vote it in. You know, George Washington and people mm-hmm. like Benjamin Franklin and James Madison, they're all part of this.
Right.
And you're like, wow, really? Like, this is pretty cool.
That is cool.
13 states at the time, you know, the 13 colonies, you know, 13 states. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for a way to have a more perfect country.
Right.
I mean, we have all these, you know, I always say, you know, you want to measure, you know, the quality of a great nation, you know, measure it maybe by how many people are trying to climb over the, you know, trying to get in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're even trying to climb over the walls, but I mean, think about it. People are coming here, and I have a chance to live in an area that's kind of multicultural, very diverse. I mean, I mm-hmm. have people from all different nations, all, you know, backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I talk to folks that have come to the United States and become citizens of the United States. And just to hear their story, Pat, just to hear, you know, why they came here, why what they were looking for, a better opportunity. It's just so overwhelming. You just think, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I have neighbors that have come from Italy and some that have come from Poland, and you just hear their story and you're like, and you came here with nothing.
Yeah.
I remember I talked to someone who came from Vietnam and said, I came over. This was many, many years ago when I was in the insurance business. He said, I came over with slippers, flip-flops, whatever I was wearing, shorts and a t-shirt. He said, that's all I had.
Wow.
He said, that's all we had. And we were happy to come to the United States. He says, we didn't have money. We didn't have nothing. Wow. And we came over and he said, I took any job. So he said, I came and I started washing dishes. Mm-hmm. And he said, you believe that people didn't want to wash dishes? He said, I became so good that they hired me up to be a cook in the Chinese restaurants. So he says, I became so good that now I've worked for every Chinese restaurant in town. I said, how's that? Because everyone would find out how good the food was and they'd come and recruit me out of the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
So he says, I wound up working at every restaurant in the city. Wow. And so he keeps going. He says, but that's not all. He says, we, you know, started making money and just, you know, my wife, we just started working and things just started turning around. He says, this never could have happened for me in where I used to live. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't understand. And I'm in his home and it's got this beautiful, like 3,000 square foot home. He's telling me this whole, like, it's just like, you know, you have one of these encounters with people, realize, okay, I'm not here for this other stuff.
How'd you record it?
I wish I would have. I'm like, I just,
beautiful.
I'm here to hear your story, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, if you have those moments in life, don't get so busy that, you know, with your agenda or that you don't pause to see, you know, is this a divine appointment? Is God setting you up? Are you trying to learn something from this situation? You know, is this, you want to hear. And so I thank God I had the grace to say, okay, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Then he says, I went offshore and I became a pipe fitter. He says, I didn't know how to speak English. And my English was horrible. He says, and they barely wanted, he said, they didn't even want to hire me. He told them, I'll work for less mm-hmm. and you'll want to keep me or something like that, you know?
Oh, wow.
And he says, through sign language, through all kinds of stuff, he says, now he was telling me this, you know, gobs of money that he was making and all this type of stuff. And he says, man, in my country, this wouldn't have been possible. And he says, man, and he says, I'm grateful for the United States of America. And it's like, wow. We're privileged. We're privileged. Yeah. And you think about the Constitution. The Constitution was formed and put together in such a way that helps us to not only to enjoy rights, but in you know, be able to live our lives out so that we can do well, we can prosper, that we're not, you know, chained down, if you will.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they needed like 9 states originally to ratify this Constitution, but they wanted to wait till all 13. All 13 said, you know, be in full agreement, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But when they made the Constitution, they knew that things could change and that, you know, that things could be put in at a certain time. So they made a process, you know, to add amendments. Mm-hmm. And when you add the amendments, you look at how many amendments we have right now, and you only have 27 amendments. Mm-hmm. You only have, you know, and the first 12 amendments were brought in shortly after in 1791. And the first 10 have to do with the Bill of Rights. These are the rights that we have. I mean, you know, your freedom of religious expression, your free speech, your right to bear arms. You don't have to quarter any soldier in your house. I mean, can you believe that? If you had to, mm-hmm. you know, put soldiers up because they kicked the door down and says we're staying here.
Wow.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really huge. You talk about it all the time, but do you think that someone just can walk up to you and just search you? A police officer, anybody. You know, the police officers are the ones that really, they're the ones that pretty much follow the Constitution. They're the ones that, you know what I mean? If they don't honor your Constitution, it's going to be thrown out. So they actually interact with the Constitution probably quite, you know, daily, every day.
Right.
But, you know, trial and you know, you have your right to a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that before they signed the Declaration of Independence, I mean, the king was having them have all these crazy trials. They were bringing them back to England and trying them and just like, you know, taking them forever to go to court. It was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You had no rights. You know, so your right to a speedy trial, a trial by your jury, to protect it from cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, so the Bill of Rights were so, so important.
Right.
So those rights protect us. So you have amendments and you can add things change. And one of the things that needed to change was slavery.
Mm.
And did you know that the 13th Amendment
wow.
abolished slavery? That was in 1865. It was ratified.
Wow!
But it abolished slavery, and so that these amendments are good. I mean, there are certain things that have to be changed to protect the rights. Remember, unalienable rights by our Creator. These rights come from God,
mm-hmm.
and so anything that has to do with protecting rights is very important.
Absolutely.
The 14th Amendment that was added later. Means that anyone that was born in the United States is a citizen. That's huge. It's huge because I talked to so many folks that have come from other countries. They weren't born here. They were not born here, and they don't have those rights. And it's mm-hmm. like you can't take for granted just because you woke up in the morning. It's like you know gifts under the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything to earn them. They were just. Our kids didn't, at least.
Yeah, that's right.
They just get up in the morning and say, and
there
oh,
they
you
are.
Got gifts.
Yep.
You know, but we walk in and it's just like, here, you're just because you were born in the United States, women were not allowed to vote. They were not allowed to vote, Pat. And it wasn't until 1920, that the 19th Amendment was actually passed. That gave women the opportunity to vote. That's horrific. You think about it. You know, our country, there's some good things that happen in our country. There's some not so good things that happen in our country. So we need to keep God, you know, God. We got to have a country that turns back to God. Mm. But it took the 19th Amendment,
mm-hmm.
until 1920 for it to pass so that women could basically have rights
less than 100 years ago
so that they could actually vote.
Amazing. And
you think about the pressures, you know, to be able to vote in your own country. We fight wars We fight wars so that people can have a say and who's going to lead them in their land. Fight wars. So you're like, wow, that's amazing. And so we got to appreciate it. The other thing is that the Constitution really helps to set up the government. I mean, the reason that we have a legislative branch, we have an executive branch and a judiciary branch is because all of that is set up in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution is such an amazing document. And we're just looking over it today and just understanding a little bit, getting a little bit of understanding of how it came together and you know, what makes it the Constitution and that it is the highest law in the land. And we want to protect it. We want to protect it from being changed in a way that would violate anyone's rights.
Right.
And we'll have to say, you know, what Bill of Rights are you willing to let go?
Yeah.
You know, like,
exactly.
None of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Zero. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to also share with you some kind of fun facts, some interesting facts about the Constitution. Let's see. Well, you know what? I'll share them with you. The first thing, listen to this, Ben. The first thing is that the Constitution only has 4,400 words and is the oldest and shortest written constitution of any major government in the world.
Oldest and shortest.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you think about just 27 amendments.
Yeah.
Think about 27 amendments. It's the oldest and shortest of any major government in the world, only 4,400 words. And to think that that document
Held up this long.
Held up this long and keeps this country moving and protecting the rights of its citizens. In 1952, the Constitution was displayed in the National Archive building in Washington, D.C. And we talked about this earlier, that it's protected by protective glass framed with titanium. And it's to preserve the parchment there. And it has, take this out, in the cases, it contains argon gas and it's kept at 67 degrees Fahrenheit with a humidity of 40%. Yeah. And it's like, wow,
right.
This is deep. September 17th, which is coming actually 10 days from now, is the day that is celebrated as Constitution Day, the anniversary of the day the framers signed the document.
Oh,
so
wow.
10 days, yes. Hmm. You know, interesting thing that we didn't know.
Did not know that.
They call these fascinating facts. Are you fascinated?
I am fascinated.
Okay, very good. I'm glad you're fascinated. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, was the first to arrive in Philadelphia for the Constitutional Convention. He arrived in February, 3 months before the convention began. Had to be melancholy. preparing the blueprint for the new Constitution. Mm. He was ready to go. Benjamin Franklin said this, and he was in poor health. And they said that when Benjamin Franklin said he needed help to sign the Constitution, and as he did, tears streamed down his face.
Oh, wow.
This great document came at a huge price for many people.
Yeah.
A huge price. A lot of unsung American heroes and patriots that many today have no idea about, but it's a huge price. And in his old age... You know, his tears are coming down his face. Said the oldest person to sign the Constitution was Benjamin Franklin. He was 81 years old. And the youngest was Jonathan Dayton, 26, from New Jersey.
Little plug there.
Yeah, when the Constitution was signed, guess what the population was in the country?
What?
Guess 4 million.
Just 4 million.
Just 4. Dude, we're over 300 million people.
Today.
It was like 4 million people at the time when the Constitution was signed. And Philadelphia was the largest city with 40,000 inhabitants.
40,000. Oh, my goodness.
Talk about having a vision.
Wow.
Talk about making it plain and writing it down.
Wow.
They said we're gonna have a nation here. We're gonna honor God, and we're gonna have a nation. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, you think about it; it just helps you to appreciate.
Yeah.
Check this out about Benjamin Franklin. This may really just get you here. Mm-hmm. So although Benjamin Franklin, his mind remained active until he died, they say. Mm-hmm. He was very, obviously, a very smart man, you know. Mm-hmm. So many inventions that, you know, mm-hmm. thing from the post office to the fire department. I mean, there's like tons of them. Mm-hmm. All started with Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
But his mind was very sharp and active till the time of his death, they say. But his body was deteriorating, and he was in constant pain because he had gout and Oof. And having stones in his bladder Oof. That he could barely walk. So check this out. He would enter the convention hall. They called it a sedan chair. I don't know what that is, but a sedan chair carried by four prisoners from the Walnut Street Jail in Philadelphia.
Mm.
So they would bring Benjamin Franklin's frail body
wow.
on a chair into the convention hall.
Ain't that something?
Isn't that amazing? Mm. It's like, man, what, you know, let's get this out. When Benjamin Franklin died, by the way, 1790,
mm-hmm.
he was 84 years old.
Oh, wow.
84 years old, and 20,000 mourners were at his funeral.
Mm.
20,000. They say at that wow. time,
That's
at
huge.
That time, yeah, not only huge, but I think it was, they said it was the largest gathering for any person, you know, that showed up basically. Mm-hmm. It was the largest gathering at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, you're like, man, this is a pretty amazing thing where we can honor people that have done, gone before us. So, and then I got one other one here for you. One okay. other. Did you know that the word democracy doesn't even appear in the Constitution?
Not once.
We're a republic.
Right.
You know, we talked about before that republic is a representative form of government, and what they do is they represent us, but they hold to a charter. They hold to the Constitution. You know, they hold to the Constitution, which is so important. It's a difference between, and we're a democratic government,
mm-hmm.
but we're a republic. You know, we pledge right. allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for yeah. which it stands.
Sure.
Well, the republic is about sending representative government.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our congressmen and our congresswomen that go and represent us, you know, as the citizens. And what they represent is they hold the Constitution. They're there to make sure that the Constitution is not messed with, basically.
Right, you know what I mean? Exactly.
A democracy is about anyone just voting, and if you have the majority, then the majority determines what's going to happen. And so that could be good if you, you know, depending what the majority is.
Right.
But if you're a minority, you know, it could be all over. I mean, a majority could say we have to all wear Saints shirts. That would be horrible.
that would be great. What are you talking about?
That would be catastrophic. And if you're a minority in that and you're saying, I ain't wearing no Saints t-shirt.
Right.
Then guess what? We'd have to wear a Saints t-shirt. That ain't right. Okay? That ain't right. So we need a republic. We got a republic.
Yeah.
And they hold to the Constitution, which is pretty cool. And they say that, here's a last fascinating fact for you, Pat, uh-huh. that Daniel Webster, you know, Webster,
yeah.
was the expounder of the Constitution. And
wow.
that's something.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting. Got 27 amendments. And we shared, you know, often people know about the first 10
mm-hmm.
Amendments of the Bill of Rights. But, you know, the 11th Amendment has to do with judicial limits. 12 has to do with choosing the president and the vice president.
Mm.
There you go. What's happening right now, it's in the Constitution.
Right.
The 13th Amendment has to do, we talked about earlier, abolishing slavery. You can't keep slaves. It's
That's
illegal.
Right. That's right.
It's illegal. Every citizen has rights. If you're born, it's the 14th Amendment. If you're born in the United States, you have a citizen's rights. You have mm-hmm. rights. The 15th Amendment is that your race can't bar you from a vote. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Just your, you can't, you, hello?
That's good.
I mean, the 16th has to do with status of income tax. The 17th, the senators are elected by a popular vote. The 18th Amendment, abolished liquor. But I guess that was repealed, you know?
Yeah, right.
The 19th, of course, was women voting.
Mm-hmm.
The 20th is the presidential congressional terms. So I believe it's term limits. The Second Amendment is presidential term limits. A president can't serve forever, mm-hmm. you know? And so these are all just neat. I mean, we can go on and on. There's a few more. But the Constitution, read your Constitution. Be a student of the Constitution. Understand what your rights are.
Bine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org.